I hope I don't lose my voice. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labour you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. I forgot to mention, mums or dads, if you've got a little one or grandparents, you are welcome. We're not making available a babysit facility today, but you're more than welcome to just, if your little one needs any attention, you're welcome to just look after them, well, in here, really, and don't feel awkward about that at all, or in the foyer, or someone can show you where our change facilities, and that is as well. If you just make your way to the back, someone will show you. Kids. I need two willing adults, and then all the kids. Come and help me. Have I got Elijah? Oh, Elijah and Shanae, are you adults? Yeah, come on up, you two. Come on up, that's fine. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You are, in fact, adults. Adult enough. Yeah, come on over here. Can I get one of you to stand sort of here and the other one there? And then, yeah, please. Yeah. And then, kids, can you all come to the middle here and stand just sort of, yeah, just make a bit of a column here in the middle. I didn't tell you what you agreed to. So you can look this way, kids. You can look towards Shanae and Eli. And okay, now I'm going to ask you. These two are two captains of two teams. But one by one, you can choose which team you want to belong to. So we're going to flip it. The captains don't choose the team here. The team chooses the captain. That's how it's going to work. So maybe, Nate, do you want to go first? Elijah or Shanae?
Have more than
him. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Lexi, you don't know these two, so you can go either way. You, Shanae or Elijah? Oh, Elijah, yes. Larger's prettier. All right.
I always knew it.
Emmy and Anna, you guys can come together. Actually, Emmy, you can go alone. Do you want to be with Shanae or Elijah? Shanae, straight up. All right, David. Oh, another one. Anna. Okay, all right, keep going, guys. You can just sort of, no, one by one. Yeah, all right, yep, keep going. Okay, just keep going. Yep. We can, which way is it going to be? Oh! Okay, we've got our two teams. Okay, can you stand behind your captains, please? Teams?
Quality over quantity.
All right, now your two captains Your two captains are going to verse each other in a best out of three. We shoot well. So you're going to, you know the rules, I assume. Yeah. All right, round one. Let's go for it. Ooh. Ah, Team Sinead's got one. Let's go. Number two. Ooh. Well, they practically won, so. But let's play the last round just for dignity.
I've lost, yeah.
All right, grab your seats again. Thank you. Yeah, you can go back down. Thanks, Mike. Can I get just that slide up? Thanks for your help, kids and everyone. Can I suggest to you this morning that life really is, I'm going to work with a metaphor here, a game. It's a long game. It's an eternal game, really. And in all of this long, eternal game of life, there really are only two teams and two captains. That's it, right? Now, we've gone as a church for the last number of weeks through a part of the Bible called Genesis. And so, and if you've been coming along steadily over that time, you're sort of cued in a bit of the context here. But if today is the day you're tuning into this part, I just really will summarize, and I might again ask for the kids just to shout out, because you've done this in Pathway Kids as well. What happens in Genesis 1, 2, and 3? Can someone tell me what does God do there? Yeah. God creates and forms the world, yes. Yes, and what's particularly part of that world? Yep. All of it. Yes, yes, David. Yeah. Which two people? Can someone tell me who are the two people that he, well, at least the story, the two important people there. Yeah, just shout it out as a crowd. Yes, he makes Adam and he makes Eve. And the last few weeks, well, we've gone through, he puts Adam and Eve in a place called the Garden of Eden. And this is a perfect place. No death, they have everything they need. God is so abundantly good to them. And what God wants from them is just two things. Well, one thing really, to believe in him, that he is a good God, that he's given them everything they need, and to trust in his goodness. But then something goes wrong. You can tell me what goes wrong. Don't yell out. This is not your dinner table at home. Evan. Yeah, great, Evan. They eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And why that's a problem is that kind of says to them, well, it says to God, that they think that they can be God. They can decide what's good and bad for them. They can decide what's right and wrong. He doesn't get to decide, they get to decide. They're really saying, we don't trust that you're good. We don't trust that you love us. And now we get to the part of the story. Oh, there's one more thing. What else was there in the garden that contributed to this whole thing going wrong? I'm going to go, there's two answers. I'll go, Lexi, you first, then I'll go, yep. Serpent. Yes. Regan? Yeah, yeah. But you can maybe tell me something else. Who does the serpent represent? Yes. Satan. That's right. And so this is where we're at so far. Adam and Eve listen to the serpent. They do, essentially, don't trust God. They trust snake, Satan, which really represents anything other than God, right? That's what they believe. And now we're at the bad news. Now, have you ever been in trouble? Actually, no. Can you remember the last time you were in trouble and you did something wrong? And between when you did what you did wrong and waiting for it to be found out and told what are the consequences. I remember that as a teenager really well, knowing that it's going to be only a matter of time until they know that I skipped school. Or whatever it is that I've done, it's going to be found out, and I've got to wait for the verdict to be handed down. We're at that part of the story now in Genesis, right? All this has gone wrong, and now God is, as Ryan told us last week, he lovingly comes to find his people who have done wrong. He looks for them. He finds them. And now he's got to tell them what's going to happen. What are the consequences? And today I'm only going to look at these verses, and Ryan will do the rest for us next, well, Sunday. Okay? We're just going to look at this bit. And here's what I want to tell you. This tells us that there's only really two teams in life. Okay? Where do I get that from? I'm going to read verse 15. That's really what I want us to unpack. And I'm going to do it in a very basic form. Listen to what God says to the serpent. The first character that he talks to in this story is the serpent. Serpent doesn't get to say anything. Doesn't get to explain his actions. He just gets straight up from God. This is what's going to happen. I'll put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. God is saying, I'm going to put conflict between, literally the word is the seed, the offspring of Satan, and the offspring or the generations to come of Eve, of the woman. Now this is a bit of a tricky question because we need to now do a bit of thinking. We've got to think, well, you know, kids can ask tough questions sometimes. Did Satan have kids? Is this what we're talking about? Did he have, who would they be if he was to be a father to a bunch of other beings? What would that even look like? And there's a long explanation for that and all that, but I want to just get to the point today because I don't want to work very long. It's not Satan's physical kids that we're talking about here. The offspring of Satan is anybody, everybody, particularly in the human race, who would decide not to trust God, to believe that God is good, to believe that God loves them. Really, Satan's offspring can be said to be team not for God, for whatever reason. Team not for God. The other team, offspring of Eve, team for God, right? They're the two teams we have in the game of human life. Team for God and team not for God. It's kind of in many ways as simple as that. And these two teams don't always agree. Enmity means that they clash. Now, it doesn't mean that there's always going to be violence and clash between team for God, in other words, people who believe in God and people who don't. That's not always the case. Sometimes it is very much the case. But sometimes it's just looking at life very differently. Team for God says this is what's really important. This is how we live a good life. And this is sort of the decisions they make. Team not for God would say very differently. No, this is what makes you happy. This is how we live life. And there's often great disagreements about that. Right? And it is that way because God said it would be that way. Which now brings us to a great question. Why would I want to be on team for God? Because you see, you and I, even today, this morning, like you kids in the middle, can choose the captain, choose the team. Why would I want to be on team for God? That's the question we want to ask, right? And the answer for us comes from this verse in Genesis 3, verse 15 as well. Maybe one of you kids, can you read for me Genesis 3, verse 15. Can someone read that for us out loud? Marty, you can have a go. Did you listen to the question? Can you read that for us? Yep, go for it. Thanks, Marty. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Team not for God's captain, Satan. His head will be crushed. That is, he will be defeated. A full and a final judgment awaits him. But very interestingly, how will that happen? He, now this is very interesting, this is someone, an individual, will come who will crush the head of the serpent. And what's so remarkable about this verse in the Bible is that already we're talking here 3,500 years before Jesus, someone has an expectation that somewhere down that line, there's going to be an individual who is going to come as the captain of Team 4 God, and that individual person is going to smash, just like Shanae smashed Eli here, smash Satan, right? History's expectation was always that there would be someone coming, a new Adam, a better Adam, a perfect Adam. And that, kids, that, friends, is what brings us to the Easter story today. Because you see, in Christ, God comes as a man. He lives as a perfect man, a human, sinless. On the cross, he takes the consequences for Adam's failure. You see, the truth is we all were and chose and choose regularly to be on team not for God. And that gets a huge punishment. Means that we can't know God. We can't live with God. God won't have us if we don't trust him and believe in him. And Jesus comes and he says, I will take that punishment for those who would believe it, right? So on the cross, he takes that consequence. And then he rises and he promises to fill, to restore all who will come to him in faith. He creates the new team, right? The team church, if you want to call it that. And then he promises at some time in the future to end it all, where Team God will live in a new world, a new Eden, one in which there once again will be no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. That is the promise of God. That is what was achieved through the cross of Jesus Christ. And that is the glorious message of Christianity. The question before you and before me today is the same question as what was before Adam and Eve in Eden. Do I believe that God is real? Do I believe that he's good? Do I believe that I actually am a sinful human being? I make the same mistake as Adam and Eve. Do I believe that I placed myself in team not for God? And do I believe that because he loved me on the cross, he took my place in team not for God? And he placed me on team God, where he is my captain, where he is a good captain, where he is the captain who is going to help me, lead me, and win victory for me in a final sense. He's already won the decisive battle on the cross, but he's going to win the war as well in the long run, right? That's the message of Easter. And that's the invitation to all of us this Easter. So let me wrap up. I want to talk to just a couple of maybe categories of us in this building. Maybe here today in church and God and faith and all this stuff is still one giant ball of senselessness and confusion and none of it really makes sense to you. Nevertheless, you suspect that the team that you're on in life is not a winning team. This gets a bit deep, but you feel defeated. You feel consumed by failure or shame or guilt or hopelessness or fear. And there's nothing but darkness and pointlessness that prevails in your life. You've tried everything out to try and fix it, the sense of the fact that you are losing in life, but nothing fixes it. Come to Team for God. Come to a better captain, a different captain. Come to one who can make all the difference. And so I ask you this morning that you would please consider that there is another team. Would you perhaps take steps to investigate what this other team is like? Why might it be a better team? Would you read the Bible? Perhaps that's one thing you want to do. You can do that on your own. It's no threat. Read the Gospel of Mark, if that's something you can tie down in your brain to remember. It's the story of Jesus. If you're brave enough, just do it. There's immense power in that. Do it. Would you consider, and some of you have, to talk to a Christian friend or mum, dad? If you are that Christian friend, would you consider sending podcasts or things that are useful to listen to? Would you consider doing Hope Explored with us as a church, as we're running at the moment? Consider that there is another team in life. The team is open. It's super keen to add players to the team. If nothing else today, consider that there is a different team in life, a winning team, and you can be on it. But then I want to speak to a second group of people today. Some in here today are, in fact, on Team God, Team for God. You have been on Team for God for a very long time. But you say, I'm not so sure. It's not actually as easy as I thought it would be. I still don't really feel like I'm winning. I'm suffering greatly. I joined Team for God. I believe in all that Jesus has done for me, but I'm still sick. There's still great conflict in my life. I still hurt. I'm still not overcoming my addictions. I'm still stuck in the shame and the guilt of the stuff that I want to get out of. The Easter story wants to speak to you too today, very much. Did you notice in this verse that it says, God says to the serpent, you will strike at the heel, all right, you'll crawl in your belly rather, all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Somehow, God allows this serpent to continue his activity. For a set period of time in the human existence, evil under his hand, not by him or from him. And I'll tell you why, perhaps in a minute, but it continues. This serpent strikes. It strikes at your heel too, right? The team for God is a team of cripples. They all have struck heels, one way or another. It's still part of the experience this side of life, this side of death, I should say, right? Bad stuff still happens to you. Bad stuff is still done by you as you're constantly, you know, struggling with your own sin and with the bad that happens in the world and around us. How does Easter then speak to you if that's who you are today? Well, can I just say, in full acknowledgement of the mystery here, we don't always know how God apportions our suffering and difficulty. But I want to say two things that Easter should encourage you with today. The suffering of a player on Team for God is known. Known by your captain. Your captain knows your suffering. He's coming to die on a cross. Was his way of coming into your existence. And so whatever your suffering is, look on your captain and know that he's with you. He's in you. Your human suffering is not something that he stands far away and says, oh, well, too bad for you. No, this is why he's such a great captain, is he takes on your suffering. He knows he's with you. He's not a stranger to your suffering. Never has been, right? He feels what you feel. He struggles with what you struggle. And can I just say in this way, he is totally different from the captain of team not for God. You see, whatever it is that you consider the captain of whatever team you think you're on other than God, whatever it is that you live for most, whether it's a person or money or achievements or having stuff, whatever it is, that captain is not going to be there for you when you need that captain most. He or she or it will not be there for you. Most importantly, he or she or it will not be for you when you go through the most severe human experience, when you die. Kids, you're in church this morning, and I thought whether I talk about this or not, and I thought, oh, no, I'm going to talk about this. We don't talk about this a lot, but you are going to die. This is what's said in Genesis so poignantly. God says, you will certainly die. You're going to die. We don't know when, we don't know how, but at that point, you're alone. No one and nothing other than this captain will be there for you. We'll wait for you. We'll be ready to receive you, to welcome you, right? This is why he's a good captain. This is why, if you want to choose which one to belong to, he's the one. He's the one who came to suffer with you in your suffering. He knows what you feel like, but more than all, in your moment of greatest needs, which you will face, lying on a deathbed, or suddenly, you know, whatever accident, ship crashes into a harbour 2 days ago in Baltimore. A worker just drove a truck over the bridge and all of a sudden. You know, we ought to think about that. Who's going to meet you there? And who's going to receive you there? Jesus will. Because the team captain of Team 4 God is there. He's a better captain. He's the best captain. And as if that is not good enough, his promise extends further, because beyond your life and death as an individual, beyond the end game of life, Ryan's going to talk more about this on Sunday, so I'm not going to say a lot, but he promises to make a new world, a new Eden, a perfect one. And you're going to be in it. And you're going to live in it eternally. Right? You, if you're in suffering today, must remember of the promise of the future of what God has in store for his team. That promise is so glorious. There's nothing that can compare to it. Nothing. And it's earned and won through the suffering of Jesus on the cross, where he suffered for us, where he suffered with us. Love this promise, because we still live in some degree of it hasn't been quite finished yet, right? But in Romans, God says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. It's coming, and he will do it. Why is he waiting? We'll finish with that question. Why has he not done it yet? So that today, on Good Friday 2024, you and I can be here to hear this message. That we can begin thinking about joining a winning team under Captain Christ. That you may join today by praying if you haven't. And if you have, well, that you may be encouraged. And that you will continue to encourage others to join this team. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we cannot describe you adequately. In terms of your goodness and glory and worthiness as a captain, more appropriately a king, who's done something that is unheard of. And yet that is your glory. that you would come, that you would die, you would take our place. And I pray this morning for the friend who is here, who's saying today is the day where I'm joining Team for God. Lord, would you add to that team? May that friend today, whether it's picking up a Bible or whether it's simply praying, I want to join the team, and you'll onboard them. I pray that you do it. And then I pray, Father, for those who are on team and maybe have been for a long time, but have badly broken heels, may the promise of what you do and will do in the future be a great encouragement. May your nearness in their suffering be known and felt. May they find moments of worshipping you in a way that moves them forward. And Father, I pray for all of us. Whether we're near death, nearing death, or even when we're not, that we would always be mindful that you will meet us, that you want to meet us when we die. Thank you that that is what you've come to secure. Thank you that that is the place where you've gone and are going. That we can come here on Sunday, as Phil Wickham reminded us, and say, death has lost its sting. Its curse is gone. It's put on the cross. Would you strengthen our faith in it? Or would you give it to us for the first time today? We pray, we ask, in that glorious and mighty name of Christ, our captain. Amen. All right, folks, we're going to sing.